Welcome to the Baby Weight Podcast, brought to you by Omaha Better Birth Project. Omaha Better Birth Project is a nonprofit organization. Our mission is to decrease inequities in childbirth by providing access to doula services, childbirth education, and prenatal and postpartum support for low-income and teen families. Find out more about Omaha Better Birth Project online at www.omahabetterbirth.org. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Baby Weight Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about 10 questions you should ask when you're interviewing an OB or a midwife for your pregnancy. So these are a list of questions that we've kind of curated that we think are our top ones that you should hit when you're looking to find an OB or a midwife to care for you during your pregnancy. All right, Emily, what do we have as number one on our list?
The first question I feel like, and we feel like you should ask your provider is, what is your birth philosophy? Mm-hmm. Now, this is kind of a hefty question to ask right out of the gate. It can entail bunches of different answers. But something that we would look for would be, if your provider treats pregnancy as a medical condition versus a natural event, a natural state of humanity, they could explain their birth philosophy as, you know, this is something that we should monitor. Then you can ask what sort of prenatal tests or procedures they would require during your pregnancy. Mm-hmm.
One of the big things that comes to mind is, you know, specifically if you're looking for more of a natural birth experience, I don't know if I really like that term, but do they support delivery of baby in different positions?
Yeah.
This can be a big indicator if they're really, you know, supportive of a natural delivery, because most natural deliveries do not happen on your back with your legs up.
No,
they happen in squatting and kneeling and, you know, all fours. That type of position is typically more comfortable for a lot of people. So asking if the provider supports those types of things. A lot of providers don't. And they'll say, nope, all of my patients deliver on their back with their legs in stirrups.
Yep.
And if that's not something you're looking for, that might be a red flag for you to say, hey, this person might not fit the philosophy that I have for my birth experience.
Right. Well, and I think that this question, what this question really cuts at to the core and pretty quickly is if you guys are on the same page, a general overall view of, depending on how they answer this question, you're going to go, yeah, you're good for me, or nope, there's no need to go further.
Yeah.
You know, simple questions like, well, what do you recommend for post-date, what they consider post-date after 40 weeks,
so 40,
pregnancies.
41, 42 weeks. What are they going to do for you if you go to that stage? Do they even, quote unquote, let you go to that date?
Yeah.
And that can be really telling of the experience. Now, if you are coming at it from a perspective where you either can't go post-date for a medical condition or you don't want to go past 40 weeks, then, you know, a doctor that doesn't do that may just be right up your alley.
Absolutely.
But if you're looking for an experience where you know you want to try to let your body go into labor on its own whenever it wants to, you may need to lean towards those providers who
more have holistic.
And they have more comfortable policies around post-date pregnancies.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of a hefty question to start off with, but one that I always thought was like really good to
get at the
core.
Yeah, if you're looking for, you know, low intervention experience, is asking what do they do in the case when they're suspecting a big baby?
Yes, that's a big one.
Right. So if you're looking for a more natural, let your body do what it wants to do situation, a doctor who automatically resorts to early induction or recommends C-section if they suspect a big baby, that might be a red flag for you.
Definitely. So along with the birth philosophy question, the next question that we have is, Sam,
number two is, how long are their prenatal appointments? So typically, this is just a generalization. Midwives have longer prenatal appointments. You're going to get more time with your provider in with a midwife than you are with an OB. Now, that's a generalization. You may find, you know, outliers in that.
Yeah.
But something to ask if you're looking to get in and out of there quickly, you know, make sure that your provider is like, yeah, I got 15 minute appointments. I check, make sure you're okay, baby's okay, and then we move on our way. That's great. If you're looking for a way to really build that connection with your provider and you want those longer appointment times, find out. Ask them, how long are your appointments? Midwives often schedule 30-minute appointments for prenatals, and that's a good chunk of time to have a conversation and build that rapport and understanding and communicate about the things that you want in your birth. So,
yeah. When I really severely underestimated this question when we looked at this list and kind of figured out what we wanted to talk about today, because this was never a concern of mine. I'm one of those people that is just like, nope, everything's good. I want to get on out of here. I'm fine. But the provider that I used for my last birth and I had an amazing experience with, one of the biggest complaints I've heard from other people was the fact that she's so busy that she's literally in there for like 10 minutes at a time.
Yep.
And I never thought about that. So that is something that's really important to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. If you have concerns, like real concerns that you want to talk about with your provider and you feel rushed through it and like they're not listening, that is really disheartening and can make your entire pregnancy experience hard.
Yeah.
If you feel like your concerns and your questions are not being heard by your provider because they're just too rushed through your appointments.
True. Very true. Yep. So next, I think is a pretty important question is, if I have a question, who do I call and when? Every office is going to have a different answer. Mm-hmm. Some have after hours answering services. Some will tell you to just call the local ER if you have what you would determine to be a urgent question. Mm-hmm. But something you definitely want to hopefully we never have to use it, but something we definitely want to look into.
Yeah, find out who you need to call when you got something pops up and you have a question about it. If it's non-emergent, I found with my providers, it was really helpful to have those online portals where you can just basically send them an email or send them a message and say, here's this question I have. And they usually get back to you within 24 or 48 hours, you know, for those non-emergent things where it's like, well, I don't want to wait 4 weeks to ask you this thing till my next appointment. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that was really useful for me in my pregnancies, but I know not every doctor's office is going to have that. Yeah. So find out who to ask. If you have a non-emergent question, is there like a nurse line that you can call and ask? Mm-hmm. Because those can really put a lot of your concerns to ease, you know, when you have that support of somewhere to call.
Right. And you definitely don't want to look up on the internet.
Oh, don't Google. Dr. Google is
it's terrifying.
Scary.
Yes. Don't resort to that.
Yeah. All right. Number four, we have asking about your provider's statistics. So their birth statistics. We're talking about induction rate, for instance. What percentage of their patients are induced? If you're looking to avoid interventions, you want to find a doctor that has a low induction rate. Because inductions tend to lead to more interventions. Mm-hmm. Same with C-section rate. So C-section rate can be a very good indicator of whether a provider is more medically geared versus naturally geared. Mm-hmm. High C-section rates, you know, indicate high intervention rates.
And it's not lost on people who are well-versed in the maternal health field that doula care and things like that can reduce C-section rates, but also midwives have a lot lower C-section rates than OBs. And I don't think it's not a coincidence. I think that, you know, typically if you're looking for a more holistic, I don't want to say caring, because there are absolutely OBs that are super caring out there. But if you choose to go with a midwife, you might get that lower C-section rate. But there are definitely some really quality OBs out there as well that have low rates.
Mm-hmm. Another statistic you might ask about is their episiotomy rate. So around our area, episiotomy rates pretty much are around zero, which is where we want them. And that's because I think they're putting out sort of standards by the, you know, overseeing boards and such that say episiotomy rate should be zero. Mm-hmm. But definitely ask about it. And again, that's just another good indicator of intervention rates that a provider has. Mm-hmm. And similarly, midwives typically have lower a PCR rates.
Definitely. If you have any sort of special consideration, any sort of like personal goals that you may have for your pregnancy, definitely ask about those as well. So options would be like, do you support a vaginal breech birth, which, you know, if you have, you know, if you have a history of a breech delivery or a breech pregnancy, that might be something you're interested in. Supporting VBACs, that's something if you've had a cesarean and want to have a vaginal birth this time, you need to know if your provider would be supportive of that. And if you're having a twin pregnancy, a vaginal twin birth, do you support that? Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, I think there are some OBs that will go directly to a C-section if you have any of these things. Mm-hmm. Always think about personal issues that you want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. And next up, we've got ask them how they feel about doulas. You know, do they welcome doulas into their space in the birthing room? This, again, can be very telling of a provider's philosophy in birth. Doulas are an evidence-based practice that improve birth outcomes, full stop. So asking about that can give you kind of an insight on, you know, how evidence-based is this provider? If they're, mm-hmm. if they tend to say, I don't really think you need a doula, you know, I'll be with you. So you don't need that, you know, mm-hmm. you have a partner, your partner will be there to support you. Mm-hmm. That can kind of be a little red flag that says, okay, maybe this provider's not fully practicing evidence-based care mm-hmm. here. And there's, for some reason, they don't want me to have this thing.
Right.
The service that can really help improve my outcomes.
Absolutely.
And just something to consider if the provider is like, yes, I love doulas. They're wonderful. I recommend all my patients get them, you know, that type of thing. That's a good sign.
Yes, definitely. I think that, you know, just my personal opinion, any provider who's not willing to work with a doula is also not going to be willing to work with you in your pregnancy. Because again, it is an evidence-based practice. They do benefit. And if they're not willing to, quote, give up that control or whatever it might be for them, you may not have the greatest experience if that's what you're looking for. So mm-hmm. be careful about that. Another thing is, again, kind of back to the special considerations, is what conditions would risk me out of standard OB care.
Right. So what conditions would put me into the high risk category? Because oftentimes practices run, if you have some condition come up, whether it's, you know, uncontrolled gestational diabetes or
even controlled gestational diabetes
or hypertension, mm-hmm. Some of these other conditions, there's a whole host that we could never name them all.
Placenta previa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does that mean then that you're going to have to switch your entire provider?
Right.
Oftentimes it does. Oftentimes it means you can no longer see the general OB or the midwife, and now you mm-hmm. have to go to our high risk team.
Yeah.
So ask them what kinds of conditions would risk you out of their care mm-hmm. and who would you go to if that would happen?
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are we up to? Number 8, will you be delivering my baby? This is a big one. So mm-hmm. Here in Omaha, we see the full gamut of ways that offices practice.
Yeah.
We see small practices that promise they will be the doctor or the midwife at your delivery. We see mid-sized practices which say, yes, I think I will, but we do kind of a rotating call and maybe I won't be there to be somebody else in my practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the big hospital systems where they just say, nope, you get whoever is on
call.
The mm-hmm. day you go into labor. So we see the full spectrum of that here. And if that's a concern of yours, if you're looking for one of those specific scenarios, ask about it. Find out so you can make sure you're in the right place. A lot mm-hmm. of people don't know up front until it's, I don't want to say too late. It's never too late to switch a provider. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. until it's later in their pregnancy and they're kind of blindsided by, wait a minute, you're not going to be at my birth?
Yeah.
What
definitely.
Do you mean? I thought you were going to be at my birth. And then they say, no, we do a rotating call. It'll be whoever's on call when you go mm-hmm. into labor type of situation. So definitely something to ask about. And along those lines as well is, are you going on vacation
Yes.
Around my due date.
Yes, definitely.
If your provider is one that will be attending your birth, will they actually be in town?
Yes, yes.
Find out. And then if not, who's their backup?
Yeah.
And if they have a backup, find out the backup's philosophy on birth.
Exactly.
Because just because your provider that you love aligns with all of your birth wishes and everything. Mm-hmm. If their backup does not, it can drastically change your experience.
Yes. I would actually recommend, if you know your backup, I had this situation where my OB thought she was going to be out of town and she was like, well, let me get your, you know, I'm going to bring my backup in. And I got to meet the backup and we talked about a lot. I highly suggest if that doesn't happen, that you actually schedule an appointment with the backup to talk about all of these things, because you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to happen. If it's an opportunity, yep. It's going to happen where you're going to walk in and it's not going to be your doctor. And you'll be like, I knew this was going to happen. So
I never had the experience with a practice that you only see your provider the whole time. Mm-hmm. And your provider is the one that says they'll be there. I never had that experience. I was always in one where they took a rotating call. And in those practices, they specifically schedule your appointments so you meet as many of the providers who potentially could be at your birth as possible. And I liked that. It does make it a little harder to make connections with providers when you don't see them as frequently through your whole pregnancy. But it was nice to be able to at least meet them once. And it mm-hmm. wasn't just a random person walking in on
you. That's true.
You know, in labor and delivery and mm-hmm. going, hey, I'm here to catch your baby. And I've never met you before.
Exactly. Wait a minute. One of the most intimate parts of your life. Mm-hmm. Okay, number 9, we ask the provider, at what hospitals or facilities will you deliver? Yes. Can you deliver?
Mm-hmm. If That's you huge. Live in a city with multiple hospital systems, a lot of times they'll deliver at several of the hospitals, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes mm-hmm. they only go to one specific hospital. And if there's one hospital in particular that you really want to birth at, you need to make sure you're finding a provider that goes there.
That's right. And kind of likewise, if your insurance will only pay for you to go yes. to certain hospitals, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if the provider you love, you know, goes to a different one. You have to go to the hospital mm-hmm. that your insurance would pay for. So
yeah. And along these lines of finding out the hospital they go to is to think all these questions that we're asking the individual provider, you really should be considering all these questions on the hospital level
Absolutely.
As well. Absolutely. So your hospital is actually the number one indicator of the type of birth you're going to have.
Yes.
And the number two indicator is your provider. And they far outweigh any risk factors you have in pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
The hospital and the provider are the biggest risk factors for the type of birth you're going
to
have.
And I don't know how many times I've heard people say to me, like, well, my doctor had to fight the hospital policy. Mm-hmm. To allow me to do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. Most of the times, the provider, like you're saying, the provider may not be the barrier. It may be mm-hmm. the, you know, conglomerate that you're in the hospital, yes. the facility. So,
mm-hmm. so
that's
definitely
frustrating.
Consider that. All right, number 10, last on our list, we have, do they support immediate skin-to-skin or delayed cord clamping? These, again, evidence-based practices that improve outcomes for both mom and baby.
Mm-hmm.
And something to think about, I think in most hospitals in our area, it's standard of care. If it is possible to do immediate skin-to-skin and delayed cord clamping, they will do it. Even in the OR,
mm-hmm.
they will do those things. But in some hospitals across the country, it is not by any means standard of care yet.
Right.
So find out. Ask your provider, is this what's going to happen when I have my baby? Mm-hmm. You know, under what circumstances would it not happen?
Mm-hmm.
And find out, because, again, evidence-based practice, and you want to know if you're going to get the best of the best care.
Yeah. I think, you know, having 3 surgical births, that was the most important thing to me mm-hmm. was, if I'm going to have a C-section, I want to have that immediate skin-to-skin. Yeah. I want to have, you know, and they even cut the cord really long so that my husband then could, like, come back yeah. and do the, you know, ceremonial cord yeah. cutting. Things like that. Like, mm-hmm. you would be surprised if you don't ask, you'll never know. Mm-hmm. So you'd be surprised what your provider will be able to do for you and what they consider, like you said, standard of care now. Mm-hmm. So always ask if you have things like that. Do your own research before you go into these interviews. Yeah. And do yourself a favor and interview more than just one provider.
Yes, most providers will do a free, you know,
meet and greet.
Yeah, exactly. A little meet and greet thing, a little consult.
Yeah.
To see if you're the right fit, see if they're the right fit for you. And take advantage of that. If you have the time, do that. Interview mm-hmm. several different providers. Ask people in the community for recommendations. Mm-hmm. Tell people the type of birth experience you're looking for and say, hey, does anybody have a doctor who supported these types of things? And yeah, do a little research and get out there and meet some people, because it's really hard if you get down to the line and it's your 30 plus weeks and you're going, gosh, this isn't feeling comfortable. I'm not getting the experience that I wanted out of this. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be stuck in that place. So asking these questions ahead of time and all along the way as well can be, really helpful for your experience.
And I think it also does a great service to the provider as well, mm-hmm. because that helps the provider know straight off the gate, like, this is what this person feels is important to them. I feel like I can do this for them, or I feel like I can't do this for them. Mm-hmm. And it definitely needs to be a two-way street.
Oh, yes.
And so if they're not comfortable, then it's just as invalid. Like, that point is just valid. If they're comfortable with you, you're not going to be able to be comfortable with them, and it's just not going to work. So definitely.
All right. That concludes the top 10 questions to ask an OB or midwife when you're interviewing them to see if they're the right fit for your care. You can find all of this and more in the show notes. New episodes of the Baby Weight Podcast air every Thursday. Don't forget to subscribe.